You're listening to the Wesley Seminary Podcast. Your host today is Dr. Aaron Perry, Associate Professor of Pastoral Theology and Leadership.
It's a world in pain. I didn't have to tell you that. You already knew it. Perhaps you felt it. Perhaps you're in a season of pain yourself. Maybe somebody in your church is in a season of pain. Maybe no one can name the person who's in pain, but it just feels painful in your church as you're experiencing various maybe cultural losses or maybe the effect of decisions that were made in the past. Maybe your church is dialed into cultural changes that it's experiencing. Pain is just part of life. And yet, even in the West, while we might grow more and more comfortable living without pain, it's something that we can't get away from. If you find yourself wrestling with how you lead through or maybe preach in the midst of pain, today's guest is for you. Today's guest is Dr. Matthew Kim. Dr. Kim is the George F. Bennett Professor of Preaching and Practical Theology at Gordon-Conwell Theological Seminary. He's the author, most recently, of Preaching to People in Pain, How Suffering Can Shape Your Sermons and Connect with Your Congregation. It's published by Baker Academic. In today's episode, we are going to talk just about that, what it means to preach in pain. We're going to address some of the challenges of preaching in pain. We're going to give some approaches to get started on this difficult subject and how you might do so faithfully and responsibly, and of course, how you might deal with some of the pushback that comes whenever you're preaching on difficult subjects. Stay tuned for a word from our sponsor, and then enjoy the podcast.
We are Wesley, and you belong here.
I'm Gloria Zikiwe, and I am Wesley.
My name is Chris, and guess what? I am Wesley.
I'm Ryan Wagers, and I am Wesley.
My name is Julius White, and I am Wesley.
My name is Jen Peterson, and I am Wesley.
We recognize this beautiful diversity that the Lord has called together that is Wesley.
My name is Corey Merritt, and I am Wesley.
I am Wayne Brown, and I am Wesley.
I am Colleen Durr, and I belong here. You belong here, too, because we are Wesley.
Welcome to the Wesley Seminary Podcast. Dr. Kim, it's great to have you with us.
Thanks, Dr. Perry. Always a pleasure.
You are the author of Preaching to People in Pain. We were talking just briefly before coming on the air, but man, it seems like this is always a pertinent subject, but especially now. It's not just a subject for a family or for a local church. It's like it's a global subject right now. And yet pain is always something that's personal, right? We experience pain personally and sometimes in different ways. I'd love for you to start out by talking to us a little bit about pain in the first place. What are some kinds of pain that the pastor encounters, maybe personally, maybe in the church? How can we start to just kind of wrap our minds around pain as we jump into this topic?
Pain really arose in my own context at the church where I was pastoring in Denver, Colorado, noticing how many people were coming to church, wanting to grow in Christ, wanting to grow in their discipleship, and yet we're embodied beings. And so how do we deal with some of the struggles that people are going through in life? When I was a pastor in Colorado, we went through the 2008 recession, and many people were struggling financially, losing jobs. We also had several congregants unable to conceive a child. And so infertility was a major concern among several of our church members. There was just all kinds of pain in the congregation. But as we think about Christianity in general, we often don't think about what are people actually going through in their week-to-week lives. We're often quick to promote the gospel and point them to Jesus, which I believe we should do. But at the same time, we wrestle with how do we meet people where they are in meeting daily needs, daily challenges. People are living with chronic disability or chronic pain and suffering. And we rarely talk about those things in the church. And so that's why I thought it'd be important for us to talk about that. And that's why I wrote the book.
So you're a professor of preaching and practical theology. And in some ways, I think that preaching kind of is the quintessential practical theological act because it combines prayer and Bible study and contextualization and discipleship and all these things geared right to the congregation. It's kind of interesting to think about preaching on pain because we so often think about the pastoral act in the midst of pain as accompaniment, right? The ministry of presence and being alongside and or maybe service and making sure that different things are provided for the family or whatever else in the midst of pain. Why is preaching about pain so important?
Well, you're absolutely right that part of the essential part of ministry is to be with people and to provide pastoral care. I firmly believe in that. At the same time, preaching is also about leadership. It's about speaking to the entire congregation at once. Whether we like it or not, we represent the voice of God to people. One of the things that we can do as preachers is to be able to show the church that they're not alone. And the people that are going through suffering, You know, a lot of times we don't realize that people are going through all kinds of silent suffering that no one acknowledges. And how can we be a voice for the voiceless? How do we encourage people who are suffering and to be able to point them to Jesus? Yes. But at the same time, let them know that we see them. We hear their pain, whether or not it's voiced. As a pastor, I recognize when I was looking out into the church, into the pews, people were going through all kinds of struggles. And for me to be able to acknowledge not necessarily their particular pain, but pain in general, it provides for them an opportunity to say, yes, God cares about this. This is not some black hole that we're talking about. We're talking about real people's lives. And my pastor understands me. My pastor understands that right now is not a good season. And God is okay with that. God is with me in that pain. And for me to be able to preach on that, simultaneously giving pastoral care, that's the magic in terms of what we can provide for our churches, not just a one-off sermon, not just pastoral care, but both, gelling those two things together. And that's what I try to teach my students.
Yeah, it's kind of like the proclaimed word is what you want to get into their minds so that it's what they're hearing whenever the pastor isn't present, because of course the pastor isn't omnipresent, only God is. But you'd like for the word, the proclaimed word, which is faithfully exegeted from scripture, hopefully pinpointed to the congregation, the word of God for the people, you want that to be the voice, the word that's sticking in their brain, in their mind, in their spirit, whenever they're encountering all kinds of other voices in the midst of pain. It's kind of interesting that in especially 21st century Western culture, pain is something that's really difficult, probably in part because we're just used to not having pain. You know, I get a headache, I take Tylenol. There's lots of therapists, right? There's various ways to address different kinds of pain. But I find it interesting that scripture, especially written and read in days and age whenever people just expected pain to be part of the warp and woof of life, right? Like didn't have all kinds of the therapeutics and different anesthetics that we have. And yet scripture pays keen attention to pain. I want to bring it back to a question for you because you put your finger on something in the book. You say that we can resist hearing about pain, right? Churches can resist hearing it. Preachers might resist preaching about it. Why is this the case? Why can the church resist hearing this kind of preaching? And why are preachers reluctant to include this topic in their preaching ministries?
Well, I think part of it is ministry philosophy of worship, how we promote the worship service. Oftentimes we talk about it as a celebration service and we want to be happy. We don't go to church to be down. We want to be happy when we go to church. In many ways, we've been enculturated into this performance Christianity where I go to church, I put on my smile, I pretend like I'm fine. And I don't want to hear about any kind of suffering or pain because that's my 1 hour where I don't have to actually think about it. And so one of the things I think about in terms of how do I address this issue more concretely for people is to be able to help them see that we're in this together, that the Acts 2 church is the model for us to be able to see other people's pain and to identify it and to be able to share it as a community so that I'm not a lone ranger Christian. I'm not isolated. We are in this as the body of Christ together. And so I think that's why Paul talks about that in Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, about the body of Christ and how it's integral, that we care for each other. And so how do we do that as a pastor? I want to be able to preach in such a way where anyone who's going through some kind of suffering would be able to receive the words as God's words of comfort for them, for God to be able to speak into their lives and say, I see you, I hear you. I use the example in the book of Hagar in Genesis 16, where Hagar is this marginal character for most preachers. We focus on Abraham and Sarah, but Hagar is the core character in that narrative. And God is saying, I see you. You may think you're not important, but I'm gonna build a nation from you. And God is intimately involved in her life. I want to show my congregants the same thing, that they're not in isolation, struggling with whatever pain they're going through, but that we're the body of Christ and that we can preach to these issues as well.
I'm wondering if one of the reasons that maybe we're reluctant to preach on pain or maybe reluctant to hear about pain within the congregation is that it does call us to this kind of seeing, which maybe requires us to slow down, which maybe requires us to take the defenses down from our hearts a little bit, maybe framed negatively. Maybe the pastor is thinking, or consciously or not, you know, if I preach about pain, then the expectations for me to minister in the midst of it are just kind of go up, right? Because we want to be faithful to our own preaching. We don't want to have this kind of hypocritical preaching. What about some of the psychology of preaching about pain? Is that something that you had looked into? Is that something that you could give some insight on?
I think one of the issues that we don't really teach about much in seminary is how do we listen to people? How do we listen well? And one of the things that is a struggle, I mean, we may have covered it a little bit in pastoral counseling. We may even have done some role playing in some area of the listener and the counselor. But I think you're absolutely right, Aaron, in terms of ministry responsibility. To be able to be a pastor that 1 Peter 5 talks about in terms of being genuinely interested in other people's struggles and what they're going through and to genuinely pastor them, it will take time. It's not like we just preach a sermon that's hard to hear, hard to listen to on a painful topic, and then we leave it at that. I try to share in the book that it really requires a lot of time to be able to do, you might call it post-sermon care. So you talk about a difficult topic, you know that someone's struggling with that topic perhaps, and then you're going to meet with them. And that pain is not something that goes away instantaneously. It takes time.
Maybe the positive framing of that is it gives the pastor, the preacher, a chance to lean into Christ, who is the one who has never left us alone in our pain, right? Has precisely entered into the depths of pain that we can't imagine all of them. We can experience them, but Christ has entered into other aspects of pain that we can't even imagine, right? Other people have experienced, but he himself has experienced in the cross. You address a number of pain points. There's pain in terms of relationships. There's pain in terms of perhaps employment loss. There's pain in terms of past decisions we regret, pain with finances and mismanaged or maybe abusive situations with money. How can a pastor focus in and figure out the best place to start preaching on pain? So they know their congregation. Any one of these could be true for any number of people, but what's kind of maybe the best place to start as they think about preaching on pain?
I would say that I wouldn't encourage necessarily a sermon series on pain. So I wouldn't go through each of those topics week after week talking about these things. More, I would encourage organic preaching, where if the text deals directly or indirectly with a certain type of pain, that would be a natural place for me to bring it up. So I'm not trying to eisegete the text and read into the text something that's not there. I want it to come out of the text and say, if that text is talking about infertility, that might be a natural place for me to talk about that subject. If it's about relational strife between siblings, then that's a natural place for me to talk about that kind of suffering. And it goes on and on in terms of physical pain, emotional struggles, immediate needs. You look at stories like blind Bartimaeus, and that's a natural place for us to talk about blindness. For me, I'm not trying to say every sermon needs to talk about this issue. I'm not advocating for that. I'm not advocating that we read into the text what's not there. I don't even encourage necessarily that we plan entire sermon series on painful topics. But at the same time, when the scripture talks about it, when the scripture talks about it indirectly, I think it'd be a natural place for us as preachers to step into that and say, I think some of you may be struggling with this. How does God and the gospel invite you into a life that is able to endure the suffering and not just always escape it? How does the gospel enable you to be able to help others who are similarly struggling with these issues as well?
I think that's helpful because it does allow us to put the onus back on the text, right? If it's faithfully exegeted, we're able to go back to the text. Of course, at the same time, the pastor does have his or her finger on the pulse of a congregation. It's impossible to get out of how we're reading the text from the life experience and what's going on in the life of our church. But the attention, if it's kind of like open heart to the congregation, open head to the text and finding a place where those meet, of course, God wants to speak through his word to the actual needs and the actual situations of the congregation. And I mean, part of that is just the beauty of pastoral ministry, right? Is working both with text and with people, is working with the words and then working with the bodies and the lives of people that you're overseeing. Drawing on your own pastoral experience and then maybe some of the reflections that you've gotten into in the classroom as well, I'm anticipating somebody who comes to me after the sermon and they say, I've preached on a difficult topic, I've preached on a difficult situation involving pain in lives, and maybe they're feeling kind of pinpointed. And I'm trying to put the onus on the text, like this is just part of the plan, or this is maybe the lectionary readings and this is there, but they're not buying it. They're like, no, that was to me, Pastor. Any words of wisdom? Because undoubtedly when people preach on difficult topics, there's going to be some kind of pushback. How can they handle some of that pushback in a faithful way?
I remember guest preaching at a church recently, and I was talking about from 1 Thessalonians regarding how God is going to keep us accountable for the things that we do here on this earth, looking especially at 1 Thessalonians 4, living to please God. This lady came up to me after the service and sat down next to me in the pew, and she just started staring down at me and really upset, and she was visibly upset. And she basically said, how can you tell me that God doesn't forgive me? How could you tell me that God remembers my sin? I thought God didn't keep track of those kinds of records. He's forgiven us permanently at all points at all time. And I said, yeah, that's true. And then she eventually went on to say, the reason why she brings this up is because she had aborted a child 7 years ago. And this pain will never leave her. And what I had said to her in the sermon directly raised that pain for her again. That wasn't my intention. I didn't know about her abortion. And yet the Holy Spirit was reminding her of something that maybe she needed to wrestle with. Maybe that it was something that she hadn't forgiven herself, or she didn't feel the forgiveness of the Lord from that experience. As a preacher, I can't let that determine how I preach the word of God. I can't anticipate every single issue in people's lives. And I would say that if it's the Holy Spirit working in a person's life, then that's a good thing. It may not be always positive, and sin is a very messy thing, as we know, or just even trials that people are going through. So I would say we can't allow what people might feel about what we're going to say deter us or determine how we're going to preach God's word. And so I would say lovingly, encouragingly, pastorally, we want to be able to invite people into this, and yet recognize that I'm probably going to have to meet with some people afterwards and hear some difficult things that may not have been received as well as I had hoped, but maybe God is doing something that we can't see behind the scenes, and that might be a positive thing for the church.
I think that's such a helpful reminder. My wife and I have a phrase with our children that what they're doing is not something we can accept, but it's something we should expect. We've got a range of kids and they do what you expect kids to do. And that has been so helpful that they're doing exactly what we should expect. Sometimes pushback on difficult topics is exactly what we should expect, right? And so if that's happening, then there's something that God is doing. There's something that's going beneath the surface. There's something beyond superficial, literally, that's happening with it. So thanks for reminding us of that. And also thanks for laying out some of your approaches to preaching about a difficult subject in this book, which of course is pain. Preaching to People in Pain, How Suffering Can Shape Your Sermons and Connect with Your Congregation. The author is Dr. Matthew Kim. Matt, thanks so much for taking the time to be with us today on the Wesley Seminary podcast.
Thanks, Aaron. It's a pleasure.
Thank you, listeners, for tuning in. You make conversations like this possible. The Wesley Seminary podcast exists to introduce topics and resources for fruitful ministry, and I trust we have done just that today. Thanks, Connor, for your production work. I love being your teammate and appreciate your work. Listeners, if you have found this episode helpful to addressing needs in ministry, we ask that you would like and subscribe. Let others know about the Wesley Seminary podcast. Share it around on your various platforms on social media. Thanks again, Matt. I certainly appreciate you taking the time not only to share with us, but also to write a book about a difficult subject. We appreciate you doing that. Thanks, everybody. Trust you all to have a great day.
Find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter under the name Wesley Seminary.